It's time now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Rieckert, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls, and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good morning from a very sunny Florida. Even though I'm not on my current microphone, I'm talking to you by phone. We should be up in a day or so. Hope everything is coming through fine. And we're here, and we've got another feature interview that I did with Randy Rusnak here coming up in the first hour. And Bill Tillery with part two of our interview because of the way that develops months had changed.
Mike, anything new on technology that you can think of that we both haven't looked at lately?
Well, I'm trying to think here. Of course, the big news, and I don't know how much it'll affect us, other than the folks where the new Amazon centers are going to be launched, Long Island, New York, which is really going to shoot up the property value. So if you own property, that's going to be a really good thing. And Crystal City, Virginia, which I understand they just south of D.C., and they're actually going to change the name of the town. I think some people are unhappy about that. And of course, there's people unhappy that they got billions of tax breaks. And so that's great. There's jobs, but also they feel that there's infrastructure that's not going to be taken care of because of that. And Nashville is also getting 5,000 jobs. The other two are getting 25,000. So goodness on that front.
It's nice that they're getting these tax breaks. I think my problem is this is a multi-billion, this is a billion-dollar or more corporation, Amazon. And
trillion, they're getting all these, Jeff. They're worth a trillion. Yeah.
That's right, $1 trillion. And they're getting these tax breaks. And maybe I understand that it does provide economic benefits to the area. But like in the New York, in the Long Island City area where they're going to be out in Queens, the benefits don't really help the people who live there because as more people move into that area, the demand for the apartments goes up and there's not enough places to go around. And what happens is the landlords spike the rent so they can get as much money as possible. So the people who live in that community, the people who have been living there all these years, aren't the ones that are going to benefit from that. And that's the big argument against this whole thing from the people from the New York City perspective. But sure, I'd like to see Amazon come up here too. I'd like to have same day delivery and things like that because, I mean, that's what's going to happen when they come into these areas. But
one of the other things is the going back to what we talked about last week, and we're going to hear more about very shortly here, is the Freestyle Libre. The good news is now they have the 14-day sensors, so that'll reduce the number of times you have to insert the sensor into your arm. But also they're doing ads on TV now. They're pushing it, telling people to ask your doctor for a prescription for it. So that's going to be a whole public awareness campaign, which is going to make it a lot easier for those who want to get this so your doctor will know what you're talking about and you're not fighting as much of an uphill battle to make that happen. So that's going to be good news. I don't know what the cost of those 14 days are. Do you know, Bill?
Don't know yet, Mike. I'll be getting my first one here next week, so I'll be able to tell you. And I'll be talking about, instead of the initial 12-hour thing, the news changes daily on this. It will take only 1 hour between setups. So that's really, really a big positive thing. So
now, is that every time? Is that every time or
every
just
time.
The first time? Oh, every time. It takes an hour.
Every time.
I can tell you that the cheapest we could find if you have to pay out of pocket is at Walmart. They're $55 a piece.
And the others were $42. So I was trying to do the math to see you're going to use five as opposed to seven. So is mathematically, I wonder if the 10 days might be cheaper. But
I think they're taking... The disadvantage of the 10 days, of course, is, you know, you would have to do it three times a month. The other disadvantage is, like I mentioned, the one-hour thing. Instead of every time you initialize one of these sensors for the first time, it takes 12 hours to set up, where the new one, it only takes 1 hour. So for people that really have a serious condition, that...
So do you think they'll discontinue the seven-day ones?
Probably.
Now, you said it takes 12 hours to set up, or 1 hour to set up. That means once you get the sensor on your arm and sync it to your iPhone, it takes an hour to set that up. Is that what you mean, Bill? Because I'm not...
What I'm saying. Yeah, it used to be 12 hours. It's now going to be one with the new 14-day sensors. So that is a big, 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 big difference. You're going to find...
I think they call that warming up.
Warming? That's, yeah. That's like my old television set when I used to turn it on in the 50s, in the early 60s. It took a few minutes to warm up before you got a picture and sound. But, you know, that's going to change too, Bill, as the technology gets better.
Oh, yeah. There's no question or doubt about that. Hell, what about the – before we jump into this interview, I think Jenny told me she read yesterday that Ira was going to be now at all Walgreens.
Yes.
And you could get free access for there for
you. Yes, and I sent that to you. There's five things they said you can use it for, to sort coupons or to find someone to talk to, find the counter, or to even browse, go through the store and find the different products and get what you want and then take it to the counter. So
that's great here in Albany, because all the Rite Aid stores are now Walgreens stores. So because Rite Aid was bought out by Walgreens. So that's pretty cool. Can you talk a little bit about the IRA rates now, Mike? Are you familiar? Because they changed their whole rate
structure. Yes, they have three plans now. They've got the one that I'm most excited about. Now you can get 30 minutes, and for a lot of people, that may be all they need for $29.99 a month. So then the second tier plan is 120 minutes, I think, for $99, or 300 minutes for $199. They have done away with the 400-minute, and they've done away with the unlimited because people were abusing it. And so now you have those three prices. And, of course, they're adding more places, AT&T and Walgreens and quite a few airports. And I don't know what any other major – I know Southern California has a wealth of places. So they're adding them. And I think that's going to really evolve. So even if you don't want to pay for the service, go ahead and install it. And on the upper left of the app, you can tap on the use as guest button. And then anytime you are in proximity, go into a building that is supported, it'll tell you that. So you have the capability to use IRA. And that's great if you go to any of the blindness conventions or anything like that. So
the other thing is, now I think it used to be that when you had IRA, you would rent the glasses. Now I think the glasses have to be purchased. So you can pay them out over time.
No, right. It's $25 a month or $600 outright if you want to buy them. I think I would pay the $25 over 24 months, because who knows if the technology changes, or hopefully there's some insurance should they become damaged or something.
The other thing is, people who have the original old plans are grandfathered in for now, at least. And one of the reasons they're doing this is because they got to find a way to monetize this product, IRA. You can only go with venture capital for so long, and at some point you have to start showing a profit with this company. And unfortunately, it's not an entitlement. It's a company that has to be managed and has to make money, because they've got to pay their agents and they got to pay for administrating the product and doing all that kind of stuff with it. We do have a caller from 816 that I can unmute. Hold on a second. Go ahead, Doug. 816.
Oh, this is Mark calling.
Is there anything you wanted to say, Mark?
Kansas City. Yeah, I just had a short question. Maybe does anybody know if there is an accessible ice maker? Because I am kind of in need of one.
I don't know about one. I mean,
There are some that are halfway accessible. I can't remember the brand name, but there is a podcast called Accessibility Moving Forward, and they did a demo of one that a blind person can use. I think they did two.
Oh, okay. Well, that helps some. I'll look it up, because we have all kinds of trouble with ice here. I won't go into it, but... accessible ice maker would help.
You know, it's funny you mention that, Mark, because my girlfriend just got one of these new fancy schmancy Samsung refrigerators, and now they have like digital screens on them. It's got like six buttons, and there's one button you push to toggle between water, crushed ice, and regular ice. And we were trying to devise a way for me to know. I use Seeing AI and Envision, and it reads it, but it reads the whole screen. It doesn't read like when I change it, but Of course, it's not hard to quickly figure out, but still a way to kind of know that. And you got fast freeze and all these new technologies. I never really thought about touchscreen refrigerators. I know they've been out a while, but it's just something I never gave thought to.
What's wrong with your ice maker now, Mark?
I don't have one.
And oh, you don't have one.
They're falling all over the place, and the trays don't want to fit in the freezer. And this particular unit, they won't put a water line in. So we had a thing at the last apartment we were in, but in this one, we just can't get that. You know, they won't. In fact, in this whole complex, they're not any new refrigerator somebody gets won't have an ice thing in it.
I believe David and Chris reviewed one, didn't they?
Yeah, Chris, remember the one that you reviewed, I think, I know they sell it on QVC. There's an ice maker. You fill it up with water and it makes ice. Do you remember that, Chris?
No, actually I don't. We did ice cream freezers.
Okay, I'm sorry, baby.
Right. I do remember that I thought I saw on QVC, Mark, and you may want to search for it if you go to QVC.com. They did review, or they did have an ice maker where you filled it up with water, and I could be wrong, but, and it would make the ice for you. It would take a while to do it, but it would make the ice for you.
That's right about that.
And it would make the ice, and then you'd have instant ice. But you'd have to constantly remember to fill it up with water.
I bought one at Walmart that for somebody that was relatively accessible. But we'll get that podcast from Accessibility moving forward. And we can even play that on the show sometime, Mark. And you'll be able to hear that also. So there are
that would be great.
And they're reasonably priced, so it's like $89 or something like that, and you can have all the ice you want.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Maybe we have to get into Bill's presentation here.
It is. It's 9:20 a.m. So, Bill, Dave, you have that presentation ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Bill, you want to introduce it?
We're going to do a follow-up interview. As I said in this second interview, things changed drastically. The landscape changed from the first interview you guys heard last week. So Randy and Bill called me back up. It had been a busy Friday when we recorded this. So we did the best we could. But I think you're going to perhaps like the update and the changes, and then we'll come back and answer any more questions you might have. So take it away, Dave, and thank you.
We got to do this again?
Oh, I don't know if we can do it. I can't get along with you that well. It's hard.
Yeah, I hate all you guys. Do you want to do the opening?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another...
Wait. Let me do the 3-2-1 so I can clear my throat. Well, I wasn't ready.
Why did you ask me?
Yeah. Well, you just said sure and launched right into it professionally.
Well, why not? If you're ready, you said why not, and I said sure. And
I'm ready. Okay. 3-2-1, go.
3-2-1, go. Well, hello, everyone.
Let's see how that works.
Yes, accessibility moving forward, maybe. Gee, and this will be moving forward because we are actually in the condiment aisle of your local grocery playing catch up with Bill Sparks. And Bill is back with us today, and we're so glad to have him because he now has an app that works with his Libre device that is fantastic. Bill, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
I'll be back. Once we get started, we can't stop. Seemed like we just did this last week, didn't we?
We did it on Halloween, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And then
that's the problem right there, guys. We were spooked.
Yeah, we were spooked. And then something changed. Yes, it did. Well, you know, I was minding my own business, doing my podcasts and doing the things that I do. And I get this message from Randy, and it says, the Libre app is available on iOS. First of all, I thought he was smoking something.
Probably was.
So anyway, I started looking for it. I couldn't find it. And then Green Bank said, are you sure? And you said, yeah. So I went. And Jenny did something, and she found it. So I went back, and I went under free, FreeStyle, space Libre, LIBRE, and bingo. It was the third or fourth one. Got it, downloaded, installed the app, and said, well, what do I do? So I'm looking at it, and I said, it just boggles my mind to think, though, how could this be accessible and everything? That said, have you signed up for an account with Libre.us? And I had done that, So I signed in, and all of a sudden, another menu came up, and it said, "Since your, you know, it's time to sense your device." So I tapped on the button, and then I took my phone and put it against my sensor on my arm, and then all of a sudden it said, "Sensor ready." So I'm over here looking for my reader, and I couldn't find it. I said, "Wait a minute, I don't need the reader." So I swiped around, and I looked around, and I all of a sudden I saw this, you know, check glucose. And so I tap it, and it said, "It's ready." And I thought, what do I do? So once I figured out that I just took my iPhone and put it against the button, it was ready to go. And then all of a sudden, it starts reading what my glucose level was. And then I swiped around, and I saw I had my log and history and all of that good stuff. So I was just blown away. Just one quick story. Once I practiced with her a little bit that night, I had a scheduled doctor's appointment on Tuesday morning. Went into the doctor, showed him this app, and he was just blown away and said, "I'm just amazed." And said, "I wouldn't have my patients use anything else now."
Really? So,
that is fantastic.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And then, of course, we'll do a demo here in a few moments. Any other questions?
First of all, I want to thank my Twitter followers. If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have known about it so early.
It was amazing. And like I said, this is life-changing for, and will be for, a lot of people, and standards will be changed because of this app.
Insurance sometimes can be a little bit balky. And what I mean by that is it doesn't look like, at least from this point, starting totally easy, because you apparently have to either be off of something like Victoza, or you have to at least need insulin 3 times a day or 4. But if you aren't, they will ask you, if your sugar levels were a few points too high, would this meter benefit you? And obviously it would, so you have to say yes. So they still don't view it apparently for a blind user or for someone that's using a little bit more insulin that's normally used. I think insurance isn't as widely to accept it. Having said that, you know, this might change in a day or a few days or not too. I don't know.
Very little change. And I'll give you an example. It was Wednesday night. I went to check my glucose level. I'd been to a line, and I read it, and I was feeling not so good. And this may be the reason why I have this machine. My glucose was at 46. That's 24 points below
what
the average is. But if I hadn't known that, I might have went through the night, my normal, and went way down below 40, and something drastic could have happened.
Yes.
So I'm telling you right there. And so I was able within seconds to do something about it. And the insurance, it can be a problem depending upon your insurance. I would say you have to be a very good self-advocate to get it done. It's just one of those things where, and this is a clear demonstration of where by using this, you are in control. You don't have to stick your finger. When I got my A1C back, it again was 5.4, 5.3 the time before. Before I started using this, it was 8.6, 9.2, whatever the case may be. So you can't convince my doctor this is not life-altering.
I just think we're going through a phase where no one really understands this technology yet, and they want to understand it. And that's why insurance is having a little bit of issue right now. But I do know someone that is having, and Bill, you know her too, she's having problems a little bit with insurance, but a letter is going to be written on her behalf to change the outcome. In other words, they basically asked her if she's going to be a self-advocate, and would she do something about her readings if she got an on-the-spot usage of the meter, and she said yes, and they're going to write a letter, and I think she'll get it.
Good. I think people will do it, and that's kind of what I had to do. We did it. I don't regret it. And it's just one of those type of things where if I can do that with some simple, because of the fact that I get that instant feedback, I know if I'm eating too much or something's wrong, it's out of whack, then I know I need to take it easy or to do whatever I can for the next pill. Like I said, I went from three different medicines down to one. Mm-hmm. It tells you something's working and something's right. Basically, what I have here in my hand is my iPhone, and I'm just holding it in my hand. When I install the app, it's called a Libra Link. That's LibreLink, even though I gave the instructions on how to get the app. So it just became available on Monday, as far as I know, in the Apple Store. So I pull it up, and it comes up. And so I'm going to swipe around just a little bit here.
Sensor icon button.
That's a sensor icon. I would tap that if I needed to load a new sensor, but I don't need to do that right now because I have 6-7 days left in order on my sensor, and you'll see that in just a moment. So I'm going to swipe again to the right, and again.
Check glucose button.
There's check glucose. So what I do at this point is double tap that.
Ready to scan.
Ready to scan. So now I'm going to take my iPhone in my left hand and put it against my right arm. And come on, let's make sure it's going to do what it. Oh, there it goes.
Back arrow button.
No, it said back arrow. Normally it will read out loud. It depends upon voiceover, but I'll swipe to the right.
My glucose sensor icon, 114.
So it's telling me my glucose level is 114. I know instantly. And how I knew that it was ready is because my phone, I've got it set on vibrate. So touch, I got a vibration. And so now I know what my blood level is. So going into tonight's meal, I know it's at 114. And I haven't taken my medicine for the day yet. They switched our medicine to once a day. So it's at 114. But if I wanted to, I could go up here on the menu button.
Possible sensor, my glucose, heading, back arrow, button, check glucose, sensor icon, carrot logo, slider menu icon, button.
I'm going to go to a menu, and this is all accessible out of the box.
Slider menu icon,
and
carrot logo, carrot, head, sensor icon, Bill Sparks, home, logbook, reminders.
There's a logbook. I can go in and I can check all my things for the past 4 or 5 days. Now, I will tell you that because it's a new sensor and a new unit I'm using, which is, happens to be my iPhone 8 Plus, it takes a while for all this to populate. It takes like 5 days. So I won't have a lot in here yet, like I did in my other one. But the difference is now I can read all of these things. So I'm going to swipe ahead.
Reports.
I can swipe down for reports.
Daily patterns.
Daily patterns.
Time and target.
Time and target. How many? And what this means is I've set a range on here from 70 being the lowest to 180 being the top. And that will tell me how many percentage of the time I stay within my levels.
Low glucose events.
And I've got some low glucose events. I think I told the story about going down to 40.
Wow, that's cool.
That is.
And how I was able to quickly check that and fix that problem.
Average glucose. Daily graph. Average glucose.
Let's see if we can read average glucose. It's been a little higher this week. Let's see.
In progress.
Now that's going to come up and tell me.
Average 109 milligrams / TL.
It's 109. Nice. It's still well below 6. So, I'm very satisfied with that. But you can read all of those stats now, and you could never read that before without sighted assistance. It's here, folks. You know, we do a thing called the Coffee Club on the Legend. And somebody asked me, well, this is all great with your iPhone, but what about us people with dexterity issues? What are we to do? And I said, well,
use a keyboard.
Use a keyboard. And I said, use a keyboard. And if you couldn't use that, even one of the talking meters wouldn't do them any good because they probably wouldn't know how to use the commands. Mm-hmm. So it's a great thing. And that's pretty much all there is to it.
Just one quick thing. When you're talking about loading your sensor, how do you put one of those sensors on yourself?
With difficulty for me. But remember, I'm a klutz. Okay.
well.
Start with 101. But do you have a little box and you open it up, you take the little thing out, and you put it into like this little kit-like thing, and then you press down on it and you put it against your arm and it puts the needle right into your arm. It doesn't hurt, really. It does not hurt. And then it's got some adhesive tape that it kind of sticks on there with. And like I said in the last podcast, you can take your shower in it, no problem, swim.
But you like to take your shirt off just to show off. Isn't that what you said on the last one?
I've got to impress myself. That's the only one I'm impressing, but that tight.
So no, you're working with an injector.
What it is.
Okay.
But like I said, I am Klutz 101. It took me 4 or 5 or 6 times to do this. So that's how long it took me.
So when you said it took 5 or 6 times, is it because you missed the spot or it just didn't apply itself?
No, it wasn't its fault. It was my fault. I couldn't get the concept of how to apply it.
Well, it's no different than having me not understand NFC and how that worked with the first thing. So it all is new and it all just takes some time.
Oh, of course. And I get that, but don't go by me because I was a klutz at it. But now I know, and it is very, very accessible from start to finish. And this stores, and your doctor can read these reports, or you can hit something, save it to an email, or send it to Dropbox, or you can print out your report from the printer and send it to your doctor.
They basically covered all the bases for this.
Yes, they did.
They did. They most certainly did, which is great. I was so pleased that this out of the box, the only thing that might be a little sketchy would be that I've noticed a little problem on reading the graphs, and it may be because I don't have enough, information in there, but the graphs were a little, shall we say, a little sketchy to read.
They'll get there.
As you say, if it's going to continue to populate, that will probably grow and give you better information at some point, right? Probably.
Right. But for full disclosure, I will say I had a little trouble with the graphs, but I don't know if that's, but I can only give this company an A+ for doing this.
I was talking to my buddy Jeff Bishop, and he was stating that it took about 12 hours for everything to start reading through his own application, and I haven't spoken to him yet. I'm assuming it's workable now, but he didn't quite get the concept yet because he couldn't really get it to read, but I'm sure that's been
identified. Let me explain something. You load your sensor. It does take 12 hours to initially load to be ready for your body to work. Now, mine worked so quickly because I had loaded the sensor the day before on my reader.
Gotcha.
Well, I didn't need the reader anymore, so it transferred over so I could take the reader, which happens to be the iPhone, and I didn't have to wait. But normally, when you first do it, that's a given. You're going to take 12 hours. The other thing that I will tell you is because of this, you can now read all of the alerts or if there's any problems, it gives you an alert of how many days left on your sensor. Like I had 6 days left. I forgot to swipe over and do, but let's see if it's on.
Information.
So I'll go back to
Data available average.
Back up here.
109 milligrams. August average blue sensor icon. Reports. Headache. Slider menu icon. Slider menu icon.
Okay, I went back to the main menu. It's kind of like a home key.
Reports. Sensor icon. Daily graph. Sensor use. Headache. And share. Help. Settings. Average glucose. August 12th. Report in progress. Average. 109 milligrams. Data available. Selected average glucose November 3rd tonight, 2018. Average.
But I'm just reading through here.
Information.
But you can.
4 bars. 4 bars.
Go back and get all of this done.
Bill Sparks. Sensor icon. Button. Home. Bill Sparks.
I mean, help if I would do it right.
Sensor icon. Button. Alert. Ready to stamp. Ready to hold. Cancel. Hold the top of your iPhone.
So that's if you ever want to get back, that's how you would do it.
Cancel button.
Well, I don't need the scan right now because we just did it.
So I assume that you could have touched just the back left upper portion of your screen. You could go back to that spider menu right away, right?
You most certainly can. It's just like under standard iOS.
Spider menu icon button. One of four bars. Spider menu icon button. Spider menu icon.
You most certainly can. Anyway, you can go back. You can read the report, and it says 6 days, you know, left for the display. So that's really all there is to this app.
But it's a life changer. Totally a life changer. And I just can't wait till it starts getting more released into everybody's lives.
I like the part too that as iOS seems to do, most of the iOS apps, they always have a little blurb of instructions on how to right under there.
A lot of that.
Just touch the top of your phone to your sensor, and that's as simple as it gets for that kind of simple.
And you know when it does because it vibrates or will make a noise. So you might have to pick your phone and move it an inch or two to get the sense, but. It's just common sense. You'll figure it out. It's nothing heart-shaking, but I can check 5, 10, 100 times a day, whatever. Doesn't matter.
With no finger loss of, or no blisters, no finger issues.
No soreness, all of that's gone. Yeah.
Like if you're a Braille reader, for example, you don't want that messing up your fingers. You need that. Sure.
So we're talking about years and years of advancement here.
Yes.
Oh, my, yes. No question or doubt about it.
Well, Bill, thanks for coming on. I just really can't think of anything more. We've covered it all, but you're going to be back again, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes.
One of these days, you'll have me back for what are we going to do? Cord cutting.
Cord cutting, yep.
Cord cutting. Television and that kind of stuff. But in the meantime, if you have any questions, you can send me an email at bill@billsparks.org. Or, unlike some people, we're not going to mention.
Here we go. Go ahead. Hit me with it.
LegendOldies.com. Instead of Mr. Tully here going to, what did you go to?
I went to BillSparks.org. Yes.
Oh, no, I thought you went orgy.
Well, I did, and there was nobody there, so I.
Did you see my psychiatrist? My side wasn't secure. I'm not secure. But seriously, folks, if you have any questions, contact me. I'm out there. I will be glad to talk to you. Or if you need intervention, you know, just be very pro-advocate for yourself. And we can show and will show how this is to be done.
Thank you very much, Bill. And we'll see you again real soon.
Sincere thanks to all of you who have chosen to spend some of your valuable time listening to this cast. If you like it, please share with your friends so they may listen at some time as well. If you would like to reach out and contact us, you may do so at reaching@gmail.com. If you would like suggestions, comments, or criticisms, they're always invaluable. Come out at the time here to report and tell the what's good to you, the phone number where you may contact us.
Leave this by voicemail by calling 218-209-2133. That's 218-209-2133.
Great stuff. Gets pretty good. And Bill, I can tell you that Shirley in the
you need
in the hot in the Shirley had a question. She raised her hand during the presentation, so I'm going to unmute her. So hold on a second. Go ahead, Shirley.
Hi there. I came in the middle of the demo and realized, of course, that was pre-recorded. But I'm curious, Bill, have you switched to the 14-day reader yet?
I will be going to the 14 reader probably next week.
Okay. I want to talk to you after that because since I'm going to have to switch iPhones, which, you know, of course, is going to be... a major thing to do. I want to make sure that you have just as good a luck with the 14 day with your phone, and it works as well, you know, before I actually make that change, since I will have to get a new phone. So I'll be curious to check with you after that. I mean, I wouldn't think there would be a problem, but I would like to know that, since I'm going to have to go to an expense to change phones. And I don't know if they've told you, but I know the person from one person I talked to from the Freestyle organization told me that instead of having this 12-hour thing with the 14-day, it's just going to be a one-hour warm-up time, supposedly.
That's true. That's what we talked about before.
So, and did you have any problems getting your insurance to approve it? Because I'm not on insulin or anything at all, and I'm wondering if they're going to balk at that.
I did not have any problems at all.
Okay, and you were not taking insulin, were you?
No, I'm not taking insulin.
Okay, I didn't think so. All right, well, I appreciate it, and like I said, you're thinking in the next week or so you may be switching to the other one?
Yeah, I'm eligible on the 15th. I just need to let my current sensor I've got run out, you know.
Okay, but you know you have to get a new reader.
No, you do not.
Well, according to the woman at Freestyle, you have to apply for a new reader, and they will send it to you for free. She said it is a different reader, so I don't know.
Right. Okay, well, there is some debate upon that, but let me tell you, in order to use this, and we've talked to the people at Freestyle also.
Right.
That is, if you just want to use your phone.
Sure.
Okay, you do not need a reader. If
right.
If you want to use both the reader and
the phone.
Then you need to use the reader.
Right. Right.
Yeah, you can go both ways on that. So
right, I understand. So you're not going to worry about having the reader, then you're just going to use your phone.
Right, because that's 99.9%. I can do the reader.
Sure.
But why take 30 or 40 seconds when I can do it in three?
Yeah, I understand. She was just suggesting to me that I get the reader anyway, and at least I would have that as a backup if we would have a problem with the phone or something. But I don't know that I'll do that. I also didn't know if the insurance, you know, or if they would actually allow you to just get the sensors if you don't actually, you know, apply for purchasing the reader. But, you know, I'll find these out as things go along, but I will be curious to hear from you or to talk with you
sure.
Once you get the 14-day sensors to make sure they still work as well with the
Surely
app.
In the TV commercial, it says contact your doctor to fill up prescription for the sensors. That's what it says on the commercial.
Oh, okay. Well, my doctor's already given me a prescription. I just haven't taken it in yet because I've got to decide on my phone and stuff, and I'm sort of watching Bill. He's my... Yeah. You know, whatever my go-to person here to make sure of what I'm going to do. So
okay,
but
well,
it does work. So
and we,
okay.
And we do have two people who have raised their hands, Bill. So you want
okay.
me to
okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Shirley.
Gina, you have a question?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
I heard that you have to insert a needle into your arm. Isn't that kind of an infection waiting to happen, or is there a way around that? Because
well,
I had a few infections in my time.
I will tell you that when I put my needle in the arm, before I do that, I use an alcohol swab. I've never knock on a needle or arm or whatever. I've never had an infection. So I just make sure that I wipe it very clean, you know, before I get started. And when I get done with using that arm, my alternate arms, I go from my right arm to my left arm every other time. And so I try to do a little bit of preventative, but I've never had a problem, nor have I ever heard of anybody having a problem.
We have a question from our person in the 225 area code. I know I should remember these phone numbers, but go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Pierre.
You really let that one through, Jeff? Go ahead.
I think we dealt with him on All Things Radio Extra. Go ahead, Pierre.
Yeah, this is the real 225. But anyway, what I wanted to ask Bill is, you know, for old timers who don't have iPhones and all that stuff, does the actual Libra meter talk?
The actual, somebody's enjoying something here.
Yeah, someone's rocking.
But,
oh, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. The old timers, the meter does not talk, Pierre.
Wow.
So it does not talk, and it's very unlikely that it will talk because of the availability of the phone or other devices, because then you've got to find something to be able to read that screen.
And flip phones won't do it, right?
No. It has to be a smartphone, Pierre.
iPhone 7
or later. Like, this is like pie in the sky, but maybe one day they'll get your Amazon show to be able to do it.
That would be nice. Can I ask you a question, Bill? Because I got a little confused when you were talking about setting up the sensor and putting it on your arm. When you get the sensors, each sensor, though, whether it's 10 or 14, they come in a box, individual sensors. But you said something about putting the sensor in something and then injecting yourself. Is that has to be changed also? Is that the needle injector part of the sensor, or is it something that you put the sensor into and then inject yourself?
Right. You hit it right, the last statement.
You get a new one in each box.
You get a new one in each box. You have to put it together. And then you take your hand and you kind of push down a little bit, and that kind of seals it, you know, kind of pushes it into your arm. And it does not hurt. I will tell you, I can be doing other things and I don't even feel it. So we're not talking about an amount of pain here, unless somebody just wanted to just come and just jam it into your arm as hard as they could.
No, I understand.
But the sound is scarier than because I heard it, and you hear that click sound, but it's no discomfort or anything that I saw.
Would you like me to give out the phone number in case anyone has a question they'd like to call in? The phone number is 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. And the meeting ID is 848-725-450 with the pound key twice, 848-725-450. And as I always say, you're in like Flynn.
And I did some quick math, and the $55 for 14 days is a little less expensive than $42 for 10 days. So Chris had pointed out Walmart, from her research, who had the best prices. Now, that is without insurance. That's if you just can't get insurance. Now, you may have to advocate with your insurance. I was listening to something they were talking about how it just depends on your insurance company. Some will see it as preventative, but the key is to make your insurance company understand that you need that capability to read your sugar, and some understand preventative maintenance. So if you're not quite diabetic yet, you're on the borderline, which now they say there's no such thing as borderline, but you know, you'll just have to
it can be. And the other thing is, Mike, I got it maybe I didn't know this at the time, but there's good reason I have this, because this has happened two nights last week. We had one night where it went down to 46 again, and then I had a 64 and a 50 some reading, and the doctors don't like those low readings.
Yeah, we were talking about you've done so well that you've almost gone too far the other way. And now we were talking about maybe you need to eat some rice or something in your meal in the evening to help keep it above, you know, 70 or wherever it should be.
So that's true. Bill, do you know if it's covered under Medicare, by the way? Because I'm on Medicare. Yeah. If I had diabetes, I'm on Medicare. And I have a Medicare RX plan for my prescriptions through United Healthcare, United Healthcare, and so I was just curious to know if Medicare covers this.
Medicare does cover it under certain conditions. I would ask you to call 1-800-MEDICARE to
what they told us at Medicare, but you should call for yourself. But what they told us was that you have to be on insulin or on pump therapy.
Okay.
But I do not know. Especially with people having third-party health insurance coverages with Medicare.
This is open enrollment, so this would be the time to find out.
Right. Now, actually, I might be covered because I have United Healthcare for my drug plan as well, but part of the Empire plan is through New York State, so that may be a little different than the actual Medicare itself, Chris, so I'll have to find out if I ever need it. I don't right now, but if I do, that would certainly be...
The one solution I could give to Pierre might be, I was just thinking out loud, the use of Ira, where they would read the meter to him. But it, unfortunately, when you don't use a smartphone, your odds go way down about getting some help, and that may not be fair. I just wish it was, you know. I try to be mindful of that. There was one thing I missed in the in the second interview that on each of the screens, so say you go and you're checking your histories and your, some information that I could never get before. You can swipe up and find that home button, which will always take you back to the screen to where you can, check your blood or redo your sensor if you need to restart
now,
sensors. So,
Bill, can that thing be programmed? So say if you dropped too low and became unconscious where it could phone 911 or do something or sound an alarm? At least
I haven't seen that in there yet, Mike. Now, I'm not saying it can't be, but I've never seen that. But I remember mine got down to 41, and it said you need to seek immediate help. So I think mine's more of a problem of the doctor not distributing my medicine correctly. He has me now taking all of my pills at one time during the day, and it just goes down real low at night, especially if I don't, eat enough carbs or whatever the case may be. But 40 and 50 readings is not a good thing. So don't do that at home and don't try that because that's not a good thing.
So what are some things that a diabetic should have? There's probably a certain, peanut butter crackers or something that you should always have in reach or something that's just ready to go that when you get that feeling or see that low reading, you can quickly correct.
I would say peanut butter crackers. Some people use those. They gave them to me at the ACB, the glucose tablets maybe would be good.
Orange juice will bring it up fast too.
Orange juice will.
He's talking to you.
I used fruit slices. They're like gumdrops, but they're shaped a little different.
Orange and cherry and whatever.
They work really well.
I'm not sure if it's usually what my ex-wife used to do. Whenever her blood sugar got too low, she'd take a can of Pepsi and start drinking it. But I'm not sure if that's really the way to go. But that's what she did.
The other thing that was, when I was talking to Jeff Bishop over the weekend, this was all new to him. I've been doing it for 6 months, so I don't jump up and take the reading every few minutes. But there are ranges. There are normal ranges. This is what the doctor explained to me, that your blood sugar needed to fall between. And 70 being on the low end, and if you go below 70, that you could have a problem. And that two meals after a normal diabetic eats, if your blood sugar is 180 or less, you're okay within 2 hours. Now, of course, I'm sure that could vary from person to person, but he said, do not get excited about that if it goes up a little high, especially after you've eaten. And, that happens if you eat a normal meal. So not to get.
And good point, because I remember yours was by default. The iPhone had it set between 100 and 140, and you changed it to the minimum and maximum values, which were 70 and 180.
Right. I changed that so that the doctor could get a sense of the report, because like you said, I can print these reports out and send it to him or email it to him or whatever the case may be. He'll have that. So
how often do you check your blood sugar normally, Bill? Do you do it like when you get up in the morning and after you eat, and how often do you do it?
Well, I do it when I get up in the morning, of course, and I'll explain this in just a moment. And then maybe around right after the coffee club, for example, about 10 or 11 o'clock, I'll check it. And then maybe about 4 o'clock in the afternoon to see if everything is okay. And then I will about between 10 o'clock at night, especially if I feel like it's getting low. It's been a trend lately, and I don't know if it's my body or something, that it spikes down real low, but then goes back up during the night. It used to do just the opposite and go down during the night. I think it's all these medicine changes they've cut me back on to do that's causing me a few changes. But that's my strategy. But I could check it every 15 minutes if I wanted to. But, I've become accustomed to the way my body reacts. And so that's what works for me.
Now,
go ahead.
Do you have, is there a certain physical feeling you can describe that lets you know maybe it's too low or too high? Or are they different?
They're probably different. If my speech becomes perhaps a little slurred, maybe I'm not thinking as clearly, if I feel a little lightheaded or dizzy, if I notice my body getting colder than usual, then I suspect signs that we might have a problem coming.
One time your sugar went low and we were doing the All Things Radio podcast and pre-recording the segments, and we were saying, "Dear Bill, well, it's time to close the podcast," and you weren't able to see, you seemed not to be able to focus. And I said to Bill, "Have you checked your sugar?" And you checked your sugar and you said, "Oh my God, it is low. Let me get something to drink." Or let me get,
I know
me,
my hearing gets funny.
Do you remember that, Bill? I remember that. Do you remember that, Mike? Remember
there
that
go, happened? Yeah.
So
I wondered, right, because sometimes I had that little dizzy feeling, and I wonder, you know, is it low or high when I feel that? So
you know, it can vary. Used to be when I first became a diabetic that I would get thirsty, it seems like. But yesterday when we got to Florida, I don't know. I was kind of thirsty all day yesterday, but the blood sugar was exceedingly low. So that's not always an indication of high blood sugar either. So I don't know. It's something that I would consult your doctor. And I'm just finding as we go along that varying, you get different mileage of foods that really work for you. I've really learned to eat the right type of bread or buns that really helps me out, you know, to do some of the things. And I've just found out, no matter how I do it, I can't find cereal that will not cause me a problem. But maybe there's a cereal out there that will work. So, you know, it's a constant learning battle. But all I can say is I've dropped my A1C by over 3 points. And
Dave, I want to go back to really you. I want to ask Dave about hearing. Is it like tinnitus or echoey, or what is the effect?
Well, it just sounds like everybody's talking through a funnel. And I get clammy and things like that when it drops too low.
Is this something that always happens, Dave? Is it when it gets low? So like, it's like the person who has epilepsy, sometimes they know when they're going to have a seizure because there's an aura, there's something that they hear, something that they feel in the background. Is this particular sensation that you have whenever your sugar gets low, is it constant for you? Is it every time it happens, you notice this type of action with your body?
Sometimes it's a little bit different. Sometimes I don't realize it, and Chris might say something because I might get my words mixed up a little bit or something.
Or he
I
might
can do
just
that without trying.
He might just be not as responsive as usual.
Has it ever caused you any emergency problems where you had to be rushed to the hospital with an ambulance or anything like that, Dave? Or have you been able to catch it before that happens?
No, I've not had that. I've not had something that bad. And I hope it never is.
I hear sometimes people get irritable. Is that, I would ask Chris
that
or Jenny.
Could be too.
Yeah.
don't ask Jenny. You're going to get yourself in trouble, Mike. I'm sorry.
That could be too. But, you know,
it's because they don't realize it and you're nagging at them to do something because you hear it. Like I can tell when his feet start slurring and he's really not paying that much attention, not focusing on what's going on. And I'm saying, Bill, get something to eat. Well, I got to do this and I got to do this. No, go do it.
I know one Saturday morning I was doing the Country Classic show and I was dipping down in the, at the end of the day was in the 41, 42 range. And I barely got through that show and I was.
You didn't get through it. You passed out two or three times.
Right. So don't do as I do. Please have things on hand. And I learned a valuable lesson from that. So don't do as I did.
You know, if this thing focuses and gets more popular with the freestyle, maybe we can find someone from freestyle who would like to come on to the coffee club in the future. Maybe that would be an interesting interview that we can conduct with them at some point. Bill, I know that I don't know what the time of your demo was, Dave. So I don't know if you want to do that yet, Bill, or do you want to continue this? Or what? Well, I'm
no,
leaving.
No, no, we're fine. I have no idea. Well, even what time it is, just sitting here. And
well, according to my chronometer, it's 5 minutes after 10, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we better get to the Thanksgiving preparations, but no.
After today's demo, we should talk about our doorbell journey.
Oh, yeah, we will talk about the doorbell journey and how we got that problem solved. And
we might also talk about the Lions Club. I went with Bill to his Lions Club meeting last week, and we've heard about Lions Clubs. What do they actually do, and who do they help? And so maybe we'll talk about that if time permits.
Right.
And Dave, I'm getting hungry after thinking about your Thanksgiving demo, Dave. You're getting me hungry again. And I know, and even though I don't cook, I'm coming over to your house for Thanksgiving dinner next week. Go ahead, Dave.
And these are available on podcast too. So,
all right. Well, we have a demo, if you want to call it a demo. It's pretty much just preparation, the things that we do to get ready for Thanksgiving. So if nobody has any questions, we will go ahead with the demo.
You're listening to the Coffee Club on the Worldwide Legend, found on the web at www.legendoldies.com.
And a very unusual demo. This was suggested by our good friend Bill Sparks to do a demo about Thanksgiving. So we realize that, you know, everyone has different ways of getting ready for Thanksgiving. So we thought we would give you a example of what we do to prepare for Thanksgiving. Now, this demo, or whatever you want to call this thing, is can also be used for any other holiday. This demo is for, in our case, for Thanksgiving. You can use, this is for a large gathering, because we're probably going to have about 20 to 21 people here for Thanksgiving. So the information that we're giving you today is for Thanksgiving, but you can plan your Thanksgiving any way you wish. So the first thing that we do in planning for our Thanksgiving, we start kind of early. In July, we usually look for gifts that we give to the people that come to our Thanksgiving dinner to take home. And so we start looking for gifts. And a lot of times we will use like Mrs. Prendable apples or some type of candy, like maybe Harry London candy.
Cheryl's cookies.
Right. Cookies. And
last year I made bread, like quick bread. I made cranberry orange quick bread.
And so as we're looking, we decide which kind of a gift that we're going to use, and we will pre-order that so that it can be shipped right, so that we have it right before Thanksgiving.
We usually, the reason we start in July, I guess, is because QVC does Christmas in July, and they offer a lot of advanced shipping, and we usually pick the week of November, the first week of November, so that we're sure that we have it. Well, if it's Mrs. Prendable's, we might pick a little later, but so once we get that stuff ordered, and I try to make a file called Christmas or Shipping 2017 or 2018, whatever year it is, so that I can put what we're expecting in which week so that we don't miss anything. But anyway, moving on to September, I start thinking about things that are very non-perishable, like disposable tablecloths and napkins and plates and cups for coffee and cups for cold drinks and plasticware. And I go down and I take stock of what we have and decide what we need. And I start looking around and ordering it either from Walmart.com or Amazon, or, you know, depending what it is. Sometimes I'll order my plasticware from Sam's because theirs is a little heavier duty than a lot of it. And so I begin to take stock and see what we need and get that ordered. And one of the things I started doing last year is ordering a tablecloth for the living room that the children can color on. It has pictures for them to color, like, oh, it might have turkeys, or it might even be Christmas related, but whatever I can find that I think they would like to color on. And then another thing we do in September is together we take stock of peanut oil, because Dave fries the turkey every year, and we know that we need 2.7 gallons. So we take stock of peanut oil, and if we have any that has been opened, we check it to see if it's any good. And if we need some, like we needed 2 gallons this year, so we ordered some. Then in October, we start getting real serious, and I have a grocery list saved called Pre-Thanksgiving Grocery List. And on that list, because I know what the menu is going to be every year, it has items I can buy early, like canned peas because I make a creamed pea thing. So it has peas. It has the cream soups I'm going to need. It has the stuff I'm going to need for cranberry jello salad. It has cranberry sauce. I can buy the pineapple for the salad. That's canned. I can buy that early. I can buy the jello early. I can buy chicken broth early. I start buying everything like that that I can buy. And that helps because it not only gets it done, but it keeps the cost from hitting us all at once. And I bring that home. And when I sort out the groceries, I try to keep that stuff all together in one spot. Near the end of October, I start inviting people, usually by text, because that's what they respond to. And some people would call it, start kind of bothering people about, do you know if you're coming? Do you know if your kids are coming? Do you know, I like to try to get commitments because it's only a month away. And I know some people think it's a little early, but I like to get those commitments so we have some idea if we're feeding 14 or 24.
And once we do that, the next thing on our agenda is to go around the house and clean the windows.
Inside and out.
Inside and out, because, we live in an area where we have some railroad shops and we get a lot of dust and things like that. And it can get to the point where you can't see out of those windows. So we take care of that.
Then in early November, assuming I know who's coming, which normally I do by then, I start contacting people about what to bring. And I try to keep in mind, what they're good at, what they like, how much time they might have to put into it. And for example, my mother-in-law, Ruth, used to make our pumpkin pies. Well, she's not really able anymore. And my sister-in-law, Donna, takes her to lots of doctor's appointments and different things like that. So she's usually fairly busy and she's always going over to check on her and so forth. So I usually just get Donna to buy pumpkin pie from Sam's because they have really good ones. And just things like that. I just try to keep in mind who might want to do what and try to give them something they might want to do. If it's just a guy and he doesn't really like to cook, like we have a nephew who his wife doesn't always get to come because she works at a nursing home type facility. So sometimes she has to work. So if it's just going to be Doug, I'll just have Doug bring a couple or three or four 2-liter bottles of soda. So I try to match it to the person. And then I began to think about what we need to eat. If there are any large items in the freezer that are taking up space, then we're going to have those for a meal in early November so that I can start making room for the turkey. And I also start to think about what I can make ahead, what will freeze. Some things will freeze really well. For example, cornbread dressing freezes well. Regular bread stuffing does not. And we have both because I'm from the South and I like cornbread dressing and people here are used to the white bread stuffing. So I make both because I don't want anybody to have to give up their tradition. So I go ahead and make the cornbread dressing, and I put it in the freezer, so that's done. I make the sweet potato casserole. I put it in the freezer, all except the topping. I don't top it yet.
The next thing on the agenda, trucking right along here, what used to be a garage is now Chris's extended kitchen, at least most of the garage is.
Well, my half plus the freezer. It's called Kitchen North.
Yeah, Kitchen North. the first thing, that's where I set up the turkey fryer. So I have to make sure that I've got a place to set up the turkey fryer. And I've got a cart that we purchased from QVC, and it's a wooden cart and it's got wheels on it, and I will put the turkey fryer on the cart and place it in such a way that I have access to a electric receptacle so that I can plug in the fryer. And the next thing I do once I have room for the fryer is I will check. We have some folding tables that we use, and we bring those inside and into our living room, and we set up these folding tables. So the first thing I do is I'll get these tables out, dust them off, clean them up real good, because you know when they're setting, you know, over the winter, you know, they collect a little bit of dust, and I make sure that there's no loose nuts or bolts or whatever on the tables. Make sure everything is as good as it can be, and get those ready for the Thanksgiving dinner.
Then also in early November, I schedule a trip to the grocery store fairly close to Thanksgiving. It's kind of nice. This year I was able to schedule it in such a way that I don't think we're even going to have to put the turkey in the freezer. I think it's just going to be able to go straight into the fridge and start thawing. That's not always the case. I know about when turkeys are going to go on sale here, and so I schedule the transportation whenever I can get it between the time the turkeys go on sale and the time I know I have to have one thawing. And you have to keep in mind, you know, when your transportation closes and things like that. And I also try and get around to washing the kitchen curtains. I have made our kitchen curtains, and so they're washable, and I will take them down and wash them, and then Dave usually puts them back up.
The next thing we will do is we will begin some cleaning. Well, I do. Usually I do all this stuff. Is Chris likes me to do all the cleaning.
This is like the full week before Thanksgiving. So this is actually this current week that we're talking about now. This is the kind of stuff we're doing.
So the first thing I usually like to do is to go through the house, and especially along the edges of the wall up at the ceiling. I have a cordless vacuum, and this cordless vacuum has a long
wand
and flexible hose, so it can reach up to the ceiling. And I've got a soft brush attachment that goes on the end of that, and I will go along the edges of all the walls in the house and collect any cobwebs or anything that accumulate up there. And anybody that owns their own house knows that's real easy to do, is to gain some unwanted cobwebs, especially in the corners. I will also clean all of the woodwork. We have some woodwork around our door frames and things like that, the tops of the doors, the sides of the doors, and make sure that all of that stuff is cleaned up. The next thing that I do is, and I make this every year, I have a mental reminder that I need to change the batteries in our smoke detectors. And we have a couple of clocks, and I like to change all of the batteries in the clocks to make sure everything is working correctly. I also go around, and we've got ceiling fans in each one of the rooms, and I will go around and I will get a step stool so that I can reach the ceilings, and I will clean the dust off of the ceiling fans, because those blades, if you use them a lot, they collect a lot of dust. So I need to get rid of all that dust, because one thing I don't like is dust. I'm pretty critical about that. The next thing I'll do is we have an extra refrigerator that we keep in the basement, and I will go down there and plug in that refrigerator, which happens to be in my studio. I wonder why that is.
He's asked for a microwave, but I said no.
Yeah. So anyway, I take care of that. And then it's about time to take the turkey out of the freezer. So I will take that out. We usually have like a 21 or 22 pound turkey. And so I will take that out and bring that out of the freezer and put it in that extra refrigerator. That way it's not taking up any room, you know, in the in our main refrigerator. And the bird is trying to show us how she does her Thanksgiving, I guess. Now, I put the turkey in that extra refrigerator so that it can thaw about 1 day for every 4 pounds.
Plus one extra day, because it never quite works out. And I began to talk to Dave about what we want to eat the day before Thanksgiving, because I like to make sure that we have something easy with very little cleanup and mess, and something that we're not going to have a lot of leftovers for, because we're not going to have room for them. And so we decide what we're going to have the night before. This year, I think it's going to be Sloppy Joe's. And then we start to bag ice. We have an ice maker, and we start to bag a little bit of ice ahead so that we can have enough ice for people Thanksgiving. And then the Monday of, I get out the nuts, and Dave actually does all the nut chopping. So I get out what nuts we need, and he chops the nuts. And also that Monday of, I make sure that all of our laundry is done so that I'm not running around having to do routine things while I'm trying to get ready for this event. And Monday night, I take the dressing and the sweet potatoes out of the freezer and put them in the fridge so that they can start to thaw.
Then I will get out the peanut oil, and I need approximately 2.8 gallons of peanut oil, and I will fill the turkey fryer so that it's going to be ready to go when I am ready to fry the turkey. And once I have the oil in the turkey fryer, I will plug in the turkey fryer, and I will turn it on, let it heat up to 375 degrees, which happens to be the default of the fryer. So I'm going to let that heat up and make sure that it's working correctly. Then the next thing I will do is I will bring up some, we have these folding chairs, and I will bring those chairs from the basement, which is where we keep those. We count how many of these chairs we're going to need and bring them up and prop them up somewhere where we have access to them whenever we need them.
And the next thing that we do on Tuesday is we take the, I make the sweet potato topping, but I don't put it on yet. I just make it and store it in a sealed container. And then on Wednesday, it takes both of us. I go down and I gather up what we need downstairs, and we start bringing it upstairs. Plates, napkins, tablecloth, plasticware, any canned items that we might need, like cranberry sauce or peas. I go ahead and, because we store all that stuff downstairs, we bring it up and generally try to put it someplace where it's available but not in the way. And we both go around all day kind of checking on things, making sure things are thawing like they should, because sometimes we have to set something out for a couple hours and then put it back in the fridge. And then I get the celery and onion out, and Dave generally chops the celery and onion for the stuffing.
I really like to do that because I love to use that pull and chop.
So he does all pretty much all the chopping like that. And I, that afternoon, usually early afternoon, I make the stuffing, and I take the giblets out of the turkey, and generally he will bring the turkey upstairs. I'll take the giblets out and rewrap the turkey, and he'll take it back downstairs to the refrigerator. And I go ahead and cook those so that they're cooked for the gravy the next day, and that gets that done.
Then the next thing is I will, those folding tables that I was talking about earlier, I will get those tables out that I, since I have them cleaned up and everything, and I will bring those into the living room. I will set those tables up. and place all of the folding chairs and all that kind of good stuff around the table and all those tables and get them ready to go.
And we don't cloth them yet because we have a cat, so we can't put the cloths on early. But also that day, I make the tea for the next day, and I also make the cranberry salad because it is a gelled salad. One of the things about this cranberry salad, you use a frozen base to start with. And that base, I neglected to tell you because it depends on what you're going to do, but I do make the base up. Matter of fact, I made the base up yesterday, but the base could be made up any time. You could make the base in September if you can get a hold of the cranberries because it's frozen. But the salad is a gelled salad, so I go ahead and make that up. And also that afternoon late, I peel potatoes for the mashed potatoes because we have a lot of potatoes to peel. So it usually takes both of us. We don't cut them up. We just peel them and put them in water and cover them tightly. And generally, we set them in the garage because it's usually this time of year in Pennsylvania, it's kind of like a walk-in refrigerator.
So, in the extended kitchen.
Yeah, so that's what we do with the potatoes. That's also usually what we do with 2 gallons of tea. We put a table out there and we set stuff on there.
Then I will take the turkey out of the refrigerator and I will set it out on a cookie sheet so that once I heat the cookie fryer up, I will heat the basket up and make sure that I have dipped the basket down into the frying oil. And then I will take that basket out and put it on a turkey sheet, And once I do that, I will take the bring in the heated basket. And we will put the turkey into the heated basket.
Then I put the sweet potatoes and the cornbread dressing in their dishes. And I put the topping on the sweet potatoes. And sometime that morning, sometimes I do it early, sometimes I do it a little later, depending on how things are going and how early I got up. I go and I clean the bathroom, put out fresh towels and that sort of thing. And then we put the tablecloths on the tables. And we go and get the crayons and put them out on the living room table so they're not forgotten. And we set out the plasticware, the napkins, all that stuff that we're going to need. And lots of times we'll go ahead and put the plasticware on the table, the plasticware and the napkins on the tables. And we get out stuff for the coffee because people always want coffee or apple cider or whatever the Keurig makes at the time. And I set out coffee, all that stuff, Splenda, sugar, and creamer.
Now, I have already would have the fryer turned on because I heated the basket so that we could get that oil and stuff that's smeared all over that basket. And then we drop the turkey into the basket. I believe I had said we did that earlier. And once it's in the basket, then I will take the basket for the turkey has a handle on it. This is using a butterball turkey fryer. And the basket for the turkey is kind of shaped like a turkey, and you just drop the turkey down into that basket.
Breast side up,
and then you lift there's a metal handle on the basket, and you lift that up. And I've got a rod with a little hook on it. Well, it has two hooks on it that hooks onto the handle, and I will take that rod has a loop, I guess you could call it, on the end of the handle where I can put my hand through that, just grab a hold of that, and I will lift the basket using those hooks, and I will take that basket over and very, very slowly drop that basket down into the fryer, which has got just under 3 gallons of hot oil in there. So I'm going to, I drop the basket down into the oil, and after I have the basket submerged in the oil, I'll take my hooks off of the handle, fold it, the handle, towards the back of the fryer and let it rest down on it'll rest down on top of the turkey, and close the lid on the fryer and
set the timer,
and which is very simple because the default on this turkey fryer is 375 degrees. So actually I really don't have to set the timer because the default when you start the timer is 375 degrees, and that's what you use for the turkey.
Well, we do set an external timer though. Even though the temperature's set, we set an external timer.
Right. So and that will take care of that problem. Now that turkey in that fryer, which is, this is really amazing, because it takes about 4 minutes a pound. So we're going to figure about a 22-pound turkey is going to take about 88 minutes. And you can't beat that for a fried turkey.
About 2.5 hours before people get here, while the turkey's still cooking, I will cut up and cook and mash the potatoes, put them in a crock pot, put them in a buttered crock pot on low, and that will keep them just fine, especially if you put just a tiny bit of butter in the bottom or a little bit of extra cream in the bottom. And then about an hour and a half before, it's getting close to the time the turkey's done, so I go ahead and I warm our big oven so that I'll have a warm oven to keep things in. I put the sweet potatoes, the stuffing, and the dressing in our two smaller ovens.
Then when the turkey is done, I will take my hooks that I was talking about a little bit earlier. I will open the lid of the fryer. I will take my hooks, and I will take my hooks towards the back of the basket. And when I take my hooks to the back of the basket, I will find that handle. It sort of automatically finds it. It's not really hard. And it will hook itself onto the handle of the basket. Then I can lift my turkey out, and there's a little slot on the top of the fryer when the lid is open that when you take the, when you lift the basket up, it will drop into this, the front of the basket will drop into this little slot, and it has to drain for about 10 minutes.
And as you can tell, our clock is working fine.
Yes.
And this is also about the time I do the peas and the gravy. This is usually about an hour before. I go ahead and cream the peas and do the gravy and set that stuff in the warming oven. And when the sweet potatoes and stuff are done, I put them in there too. This means I'm done with the stove. So I cover it. We have these two glass cutting board things with little legs that fit down into the grill of the gas stove, and I cover the stove. It completely covers the stove, which makes a nice serving space without risking dropping food down into the stove.
I forgot to mention that earlier Thanksgiving morning, I will go into the living room, and all of the furniture, like the couch, the recliners, things like that, I will use the cordless vacuum, and I usually like to go over the couches and, you know, the cushions and things, and the same with the recliners, and make sure there's nothing on them and make sure that everything looks good.
And then he usually takes a sticky roller and makes sure there's no cat hair.
Yeah, around. Because we have a cat, so we have to make sure.
And I take all the pillows and the afghans and things. I generally take them off the couch because we need all the seating room we can get. So they do kind of, while they're nice to have around, they kind of get in the way when you have a lot of people. And I usually, right before people come, I'll run in and change shirts because I'm typically kind of messy and, you know. And that's the same reason that Dave and I are always going around that morning cleaning as we go, wiping something off or cleaning the sink or whatever, because it takes both of us doing a lot of cleaning and just keeping things wiped off. And anytime you set anything down and do anything to it, you know, you got maybe a little bit of something and you gotta, anyway, I run the towels down to the washer, at least one of us does, all the dirty dish towels. I don't start it yet. I wait till after everybody's gone because I know we're going to have more. And then that gets all that stuff out of the way and people start getting here and everything's clean and ready to go. And a little bit before, either somebody else or I, one of us, will carve the turkey. Actually, I've not done it, but I might do it this year. Put that in the warm oven as well, tightly cover it. And that's usually done just a few minutes before people start getting here. Or if somebody's already here and they want to do it, I'll have them do it. And then when everybody gets here, everything's ready, and we try to eat at anywhere from noon to 10 after.
And that's pretty much how we prepare for our Thanksgiving dinner.
Or any big event.
Or, yeah, any big event, any event where there's, you know, where we have lots of people here. And that happens a few times. Now, usually at the end of our events, my daughter-in-law is there, very good at helping to clean up and
get
things
food
like
in
that.
The dishes and...
Put the food away, what's left. And some of them may want to take some home with them, and that's a good thing, too. And everything works. And my sons, a lot of times, if they don't have any place else to go and they're not in a hurry, they will help me to take the chairs back down where they belong, fold up the tables, and help me put them back where they belong.
We've done it for 8 years, and this will be the ninth. And we've kind of, I mean, there's always things we can think of to improve on, but we've kind of got it down to a science where everybody kind of has their own thing, and we know what we do together, and we know what each of us does separate.
Well, we hope we didn't bore you to death with this demonstration, or whatever you want to call it.
Discussion.
But this is the way it works very well for us. We try to keep things organized so each one of us know what we have to do and when we have to do it. So, if you have any questions, you can email Bill Sparks, and I'm sure that he will be able to answer your questions. If he doesn't, he can get in touch with us, and we will explain it to him, and he can pass that information along. So that's all the time we have for this demonstration. Everyone, have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.
Dave, that sounds great. I love it. I love it, Dave. It's like Dave and Rieker's Dave and Chris restaurant. I give you a hard, I always tease you guys. I'm sorry. I hope you don't mind.
This will be our 10th year.
10th year doing this. Wow.
What, how long did it take you to develop this whole system? I mean, you guys have a down to a system. I know my parents used to do Thanksgiving, but I don't remember them having a system like you guys did.
Yeah.
How long did it take you guys to develop this whole thing? I mean,
not too long, really. Probably the second year we began to develop it. I had a home ec teacher who, when I was in high school, she made us do, when we started cooking meals, she made us do time schedules written out, and I hated it. But boy, has it ever come in handy.
Can I borrow your services, Chris? Can you be my tutor, my teacher? I'm sorry, Chris. I'm just teasing you. But, you know, really.
I have to ask, Dave, are the crayons for you?
Are the crayons for you?
No. I don't use them.
I figured that give you something to do.
Now, were you nervous, Dave, the first time you embarked on deep frying a turkey like that? Is that?
Well, it took a little bit of getting used to, but, you know.
You just have to drop it really, really slow and make sure there's no frozen parts, even in the center.
Have you ran into any accidents that you had with the fryer before you first got it all figured out? And did they have any problems with it?
No, not really. Everything seemed to work like it was supposed to.
You just have to be careful.
And you have to have good ventilation as well, right? I mean, you can't just... I've seen one in an environment that didn't look quite safe to me, just the way they had it set up and kind of crowded.
Let me clarify this. Was this an outdoor turkey fryer or an indoor one, Dave? I wasn't quite sure. I want to make sure.
It's indoor.
It's okay. An electric, so you really don't have to have a lot of extra ventilation. You just need to be able to have room around it so you don't catch a curtain on fire or something.
And how about the smoke? The smoke detectors aren't going to go off with that when the fryer is working, Dave. You ever had a problem with that happening?
Not yet.
We usually fry.
Whoops.
We usually fry it in the garage.
We are working today with a very, very sluggish computer. I hope it's not an update.
Sometimes when you ask us something, it takes us a minute because the computer just doesn't respond.
I'm getting my hammer out for you. I got a sledgehammer in my closet, Dave.
There's probably updates. I think this is the second. Yesterday would have been the second Tuesday, wouldn't it? I don't know. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It would be the second Tuesday.
Right, so, yeah.
And so they're starting to push them out. So they may not push them all out on the same day, but they're pushing them out. So that's something that you'll have to deal with. Anyone have any questions? If you have on the phones, you can hit *9 to raise your hand. And we have a phone number, and it's 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. And the meeting ID is, what is it? The meeting ID is
848-725-450.
There we go. 848-725-450. And you hit the pound key. It's going to ask for a user ID password thing. You hit the pound key one more time and you're in like Flynn. There you go, Jennifer. You're on your iPad. It sounds okay.
I had to switch. My phone battery died. We must have old batteries in these phones.
Well, it's working okay. Bill, very interesting on your expedition with the freestyle meter. I'm just curious to know, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving next Thursday?
We're not exactly sure yet. We'll probably go to Publix, that's a grocery store, and get some stuff and fix it. So I don't anticipate too much of a problem. It won't be on Dave and Chris's skill. Hey, Jennifer wants to tell you, Jeff, about her journey with her way to get her doorbell and Ring to be accessible.
It's not my show. It's your show. Bill, go ahead, Jennifer.
Well, why don't you... we've had the Ring doorbell for quite a while, and it works. My biggest problem with it was always taking it down to recharge it. So I got a solar panel, and I thought, well, then I found out the solar panel I bought was for the Ring doorbell too, and we had the first generation. And I knew, you know, I could always answer it on my iPhone, but I don't always have my iPhone right by my hand. I'm wandering around the house, and I don't have it. So we got the Ring doorbell too, and part of the reason that I got it was because they said it works with your Amazon devices. Like, well, that's cool. We have our household has plenty of Amazon devices. This ought to be great. Well, what they don't tell you is that it doesn't work with all Amazon devices equally. It does work with your Fire TV. You can watch the video and listen to the people that are outside. But I wanted two-way communication. So I called Amazon and talked to them, and she said, well, all you have to do is tell her to talk to the front door or answer the front door. Well, I tried that. And of course, on the TV, that doesn't work. On the Echo, it doesn't work. So I said, okay, this has to work. This is what I wanted to do. This is why I went and bought this. And I had the doorbell hardwired and got the chime so we'd be sure and hear it in the house. So I contacted Ring, and they said, what you need is an Amazon show or a spot. So I thought, well, if I'm going to have to get a video device, I might as well go for broke. So we got the Amazon show. And once we got through the setup of connecting connecting it to your Wi-Fi because we couldn't get VoiceView to come on until we connected it to Wi-Fi for whatever reason. But once we got that done, it does in fact provide two-way communication with your doorbell. So you have a choice of either just looking to see what's going on, like if you hear motion outside and you just want to know if somebody's out there dropping off a package or whatever and they haven't actually rung your doorbell, you can listen to them or you can choose to talk to it. And it's pretty cool. And the Amazon Show is a great device. It has wonderful speakers for audio.
That's pretty cool. But I think that Bill was telling me that did you need some visual or sighted assistance to get the show set up as well?
We did, because for whatever reason, it would not turn on VoiceView without being connected to the internet. And of course, I suppose if you had the patience and you got the right person, you could have used Ira and called them and they could have told you where to put your finger to enter the password. But once you got your account information in there, you could just, you know, tell it to turn on VoiceView even, and it would do that. But it's a cool device.
Well, the only thing that concerns me was that I clearly remember they said it should have worked with the Fire tablet, which you have, but I don't know if it's...
But it doesn't.
Right, it doesn't.
Because when I contacted Ring, you know, I told him, I said, I've tried it with the Fire TV, the tablet. It does work. It lets you see the video, but you can't respond to the person.
The other thing that I will say about it is the show has a superb sound to it. If you like good sound, it's got those surround sound speakers in it, and it really does sound good.
It also, if you're interested in video and things like that, because it has a 10-inch screen, it lets you play. You can watch Hulu and some of those things too.
And if you have Amazon Prime Video and you subscribe to the Amazon Prime Video channels, you can watch those or search for videos. And I know you can shop on Amazon with it, because my friend does it in New York City. He shops and uses his show to shop on Amazon. He likes it much better than using the computer, actually. I'm not sure why, but I'll have to ask him.
Well, it's better than just using the Echo by itself, too, because the Echo usually will tell you about two things. And, well, the Echo still tells you about two things, but you can look on the screen of the show, and it usually has, like, 10 up there that you can choose to get.
Just a little bit. It's going to be going on sale, by the way. That's our luck. It's starting in a week or so, about $50 cheaper. So be sure to check those Amazon products, because a lot of them are going to be a lot cheaper.
And already, if you go to the Amazon website, if I keep getting emails from Amazon saying, telling me all about the Black Friday deals and the Cyber Monday deals, and they're already posting them on their website. So don't think that you can't get deals right now, because they're up there already. There's a deal of the day. There's 20 deals. There's this deal. There's that deal. Not necessarily for everything I may want, but they're available on Amazon.com right now. So I can tell you that certainly is something to look at if you're going to be doing some Christmas shopping or food or any kind of shopping. Chris, I got a question for you. I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, because I know we're running to the top of the hour. Do you have a recipe that's going to make me gain weight today?
Sure. Are you ready?
I'm always ready. I didn't say I would do it, but I'm always ready. Go ahead.
This is for a cheese ball. I was going to do pumpkin cookies, but I'll save that one because it's a little longer. This is two 8-ounce packages of cream cheese softened, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 2 or 3 stalks of green onion, about 1/4 cup, and you need to mince that pretty small, 1 tablespoon of accent seasoning, 1 2.5-ounce jar of Armor dried beef cut up. And again, that needs to be fairly small. 3/4 cup of chopped nuts, and those need to be finely chopped. You mix all ingredients except the nuts. Now, you can make one big cheese ball, but what I like to do is make 2 smaller ones. And then you roll those in your nuts and wrap them airtight and store them in the refrigerator. And you probably should do that overnight, because it lets the flavors set together and blend better. And you cut them, you slice them, and serve them on crackers.
Yum.
Can you substitute the nuts? Not a big nut person, but trying to think what you would substitute that with. That you
might yes. What some people do is instead of rolling it in nuts, they leave out the dried beef and they cut it real small and they roll it in the dried beef instead. So you could do that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Chris, you are a calorie counter's nightmare, but I love every recipe you give because it's so good. I'm gaining weight as I talk to you, but that's okay. I don't have a you know, I always say that if it says no fat, low fat, reduced fat, I don't care what they tell you, it tastes terrible. We have to get going soon, and it's about 6 minutes to go. And there's a 210 that has raised their hand, and so go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Scott again.
What's your question, sir?
It was my understanding that. That on the show you could when you powered it up you could hold if you held two fingers on the screen that was supposed to bring up voice view but Scott
I'm going to ask my friend from New York City, he's got an Echo show, and I'm going to ask him if he'll demonstrate it for me, and we'll work on that, Scott. Okay, that's only
I'm curious because
actually
ideally
that's supposed to work on our tablet too, but it didn't.
Okay, right. And I believe and we have a question from Dick out in Milwaukee. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, everybody. Are you guys doing a show next Wednesday?
Yes.
Good. Hey, two questions for Chris and Dave. This is concerning turkey and Thanksgiving. My wife wanted to know why you don't freeze your white bread dressing.
Just never have. I guess you could.
It seems like that takes something away from it, but
yeah, really.
That's kind of what I always thought.
What was your other question, Dick?
What's your other question, Dick? Did I have a...
Did we lose him?
Hold on. I didn't mute you, but you must have muted yourself. Go ahead, Dick. Sorry about that if I did by mistake.
It's telling me I am unmuted. But okay, my other question is, we bought a already deep-fried butterball turkey breast, and we were wondering if Chris and Dave ever tried that, and how good are they?
I'll try.
Yeah. We haven't tried those, so I don't really know.
Well, I'll have to give you guys a report then in a couple of weeks.
What year are you featuring this week?
63.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can catch all of this later on a podcast. If you tell your friends or turn them on to the show, go to legendoldies.com, and you can download the latest Coffee Club podcast if you want to share it, because that's how we communicate.